I have the honor this morning of introducing our speaker, Laura Angst-Garten. Laura has been instrumental for how many years now, Laura? 5 years in getting a multitude of programs going for the foster children in our area. I got involved with Laura when our diaper program, we realized that there was a need for diapers for fostering parents to have available to them with immediacy when they immediately receive notice that they are going to be having a child in their home to foster who is in diapers yet. And so that's how Laura and I got together. Since then, that program has grown by leaps and bounds, and Laura's going to tell us about that, how she's answered the call that Jesus put on her heart to become a woman of action and a woman of faith. Laura, as you come forward here, there is that tradition, as I told you, of giving you a ribbon and you get a hug with it. It wouldn't be the first time we've hugged. The ribbon that I chose for her this morning says on it, "Let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth." And that comes from 1 John 3:18. So, Laura, I give you this ribbon in honor of all of the work you've done as a faithful woman of Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Carla, and thank you, United Methodist, for having me here this morning. My name is Laura Angst-Garten, daughter of John and Laquita Angst. So the scripture that I'm going to be reading today is Matthew 25, 31 through 46. "When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. When the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me.' Then the righteous will answer him, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothed you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?' The king will reply, 'I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me.' Then he will say to those on his left, 'Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me.' They also will answer, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you?' He will reply, 'I tell you the truth, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me.' Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life." James 2:17 says, "In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead." So, Live to Give Hope is a program that, or an organization, I should say, that was started in 2017, founded by me and my sister and my parents. My father had been a pastor of a small Baptist church in Eldridge, Missouri for about 30 years at that point, actually about 28, I think. He just retired in January of this year. We didn't know exactly what we wanted the organization to look like. We just knew that we wanted to help people. So our mission was established and still is to bring hope to individuals in our community now, in the future, and for eternity. We knew that there's a ton of organizations in this area that help people, but we didn't want to just be a hand out. We wanted to also be able to be a hand up. We wanted to help people, to be able to give them something to eat and drink, but beyond that, we wanted to tell them about eternal life. We wanted to give them living water. So we didn't want to just be able to help them with their physical needs now, but to be able to help them with their spiritual needs, because it doesn't do much good to help people right now and then watch them go to hell. And so that was what our core focus was. So in the process of this, we didn't, like I said, know really exactly what we wanted it to look like, but the Lord had put on my heart years ago to foster. And I was finally in a position in my life where I could do that, so I started taking classes to become a foster parent. And at the time, I was single, and I was running my own business, and so what I set out to do was be what they call a respite care provider. So basically, that's just babysitting for full-time foster parents. So I remember asking my licensing worker, you know, what I needed to have to be prepared, and she said, you won't need anything. This will be something that's set up weeks in advance. They'll bring you the clothes and the diapers and anything that that child needs. I said, okay, so they're not just going to drop a child off on my doorstep with nothing. No, no, no. So the first call I had was at 10 o'clock at night for a three-month-old baby girl that had just been removed from her home. They brought her to my house in an 18-month-old shirt, a diaper bag that was full of socks, screaming at the top of her lungs. They said, we have no idea when she ate last, and they left. I called my sister and had her come to my house. She stayed with the infant while I ran to Walmart and furiously grabbed one of everything just to make it through the night. Spent over $100 just to get formula and bottles and baby wash and a baby bath and diapers and clothes. And so got home and got her fed and calmed down and bathed and put new clothes on her, and she fell asleep. And then I would try and lay her down, and she would startle herself awake and start screaming again. So I just decided just to sit on the couch with her and hold her, and she slept through the night. The next day, I saw her smile for the first time. She was finally calm and finally felt safe. The caseworker got a hold of me that they had found family placement. So they came that afternoon and got her. So she was in my care for a little over 18 hours. And it changed my life. So I decided, okay, I need to get one of everything. I had a three-bedroom apartment at the time, so I thought I could turn my middle bedroom into a closet. I could get clothes of every size, diapers of every size, everything that you would need for any child, infant to 18, and that way I would be ready for the next time so that I could say yes. And then I thought, well, if I am having this issue, so is every other foster parent. Like I said, I had my own business at the time, and we had some space in the back, and so we decided to make it a community closet. So in November of 2017, we launched the closet in a 6 by 10 foot space, and we thought we would never outgrow it. And inside of 2 months, it started bulging into the rest of my store and was taking over about half of my retail space. And then we decided it needed its own home. And so in summer of 18, we moved to a 1,500 square foot space, and that's when we started getting diapers from Diaper Bank of the Ozarks. We couldn't have ever imagined outgrowing that space. And then inside of 6 months, we had outgrown that, and we needed a storage unit. So we stayed there for quite some time and just managed with the storage space that we had. But working with the foster parents, we knew that there were other needs that existed besides just clothing and diapers and baby items. And so in January of 2019, we launched another program called Kids Night Out. So oftentimes foster parents don't get breaks. In this area, there are over 500 children in care. There are three respite care providers, which means there are three people who say, yes, I will do the short term watching your child for anywhere from 4 hours to 2 weeks to give you a break. And so we started doing this program. And so it's a drop-off event, kind of like VBS, but it was just once a month for 4 hours. So they dropped off the kids. Sometimes that was the only break that those parents got in an entire month. Some of the parents would just sit in the parking lot in silence. When you've got kids, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 kids, and especially if they're all very young age, sometimes you just want to be able to go to the bathroom by yourself. And so we started doing that program. And then when COVID hit, we transitioned from in-person events to take-home packs. So we would put things together that we knew that the families needed. Because in this area, the average children per home in foster homes is 5. And so we loaded them up with laundry detergent and toothpaste and toothbrushes and toilet paper, all of the things that we could think of that would just help them a little bit. And so we were doing take-home packs. We also did a stargazing kit. We would do fun activities for the kids. And then as COVID started to taper off, then we started incorporating the in-person events back in because we realized that it served different families. The in-person events were more typical for people with smaller children. The take-home packs would help the families that live further away. Our area services Laclede, Camden, Miller, Morgan, and Montauk counties. And so the take-home packs were better for families from further away because they could just drive down and pick them up. Then we also started doing family-style events. So we went to Fritz's Adventure. We've done putt-putt golf. We went ice skating. Things that if you've got 5-plus kids, you're not going to be able to afford to do very easily. And so we wanted the families to be able to do things. A lot of these kids have never experienced anything. They've never been able to have the opportunity to go do simple, fun things. And so we wanted to be able to provide them that opportunity. Then in January of 2020, we launched another program called Hope Reunited, helping to break the generational curses and cycles of poverty and to be able to reunite families and give them hope. Not necessarily just reuniting them with their biological parents, but there are a lot of grandparents whose kids are in care and they don't know how the system works. They don't understand that they can take placement of those children. And so we wanted to be able to help them with that. We provide advocacy, we'll attend court and their family support team meetings. We connect them to resources, whether it's for housing or food or transportation. This is a woman who, when she came to us, she had not seen her son. She had not been able to have a visit with her son in 3 months. He was in a residential facility in Springfield, and she just kept getting pushed around, and the case manager and the guardian ad litem were not allowing her to see her son. So I started attending these meetings with her. After the first meeting, she was able to get a one-hour supervised visit with her son. We worked with her, helped her find housing and employment and transportation. And after 3 months of working with her, her son was just released to her care Memorial Day weekend. And so we are in the business of helping people, whatever side that is on, whether it's that they need to go home or that they need to be adopted or anywhere in between, we want to be able to help. So also in January of 2020, we launched PUSH, which is People United Sharing Hope. And so that's mentorship opportunities that are available for people who want to be involved. Whether it's mentoring with the foster youth, mentoring with the foster family, or mentoring with a biological family to be able to help them work towards reunification. One person can change someone's life. Just one. If they have a connection, if they feel like you truly care about them, those relationships can be life-changing And that's when you can talk to people about Jesus. Because where does your hope come from? The Lord tells us that we are supposed to be ready and prepared to give an answer for where our hope comes from. And this is an opportunity to be able to do that. We fully believe not everyone is called to be a foster parent, just like not everyone is called to be a missionary. But just because you're not called to be boots on the ground in Africa or India doesn't mean that those people don't need people back home to pray for them, to support them, to be there for them. And that's what this program is about. In February of 2020, we received a $15,000 grant from Community Foundation of the Ozarks to purchase cribs, car seats, pack and plays, bunk beds. Imagine you found out you were getting a baby tomorrow. How much money would you have to go spend to prepare for everything that you need for that? So we were able to get those funds and purchase those very needed items that are often cost prohibitive for people being able to foster. Maybe they say, I have the space in my home and I have the heart to be able to do it, but I can't afford to go buy all of these things. And so we want to be able to stand in the gap for them and say, we will cover that. You just say yes to the child and we will try and eliminate every barrier that we can that keeps you from doing that. We have also had some other organizations step up and donate funds since those funds were exhausted to be able for us to continue that program. So to date, we have served 194 children out of 112 families with 41 cribs, 19 pack and plays, 29 car seats, 8 toddler beds, and a partridge in a pear tree, 61 twin beds or bunk beds, and 120 Hope for the Journey bags. So Hope for the Journey bags is either a suitcase or a diaper bag or a backpack that's filled with everything that that kiddo needs for the first 24 to 48 hours. When they immediately come into care, it's everything they need so that no other family has to run to Walmart and spend $100 just to make it through the night. So in June of 2020, which was then put on hold until last June because of the pandemic, we launched another program called Paving the Way. And it is for older foster youth that teaches financial education, home management skills, driver's education, and so this is a little video that you can play about that, if it'll go, maybe. So we are actually, our 2022 Paving the Way will start tomorrow, so be praying for us about that. My father and I got certified as driver instructors. So 8, 15 to 17-year-old kiddos, we will be taking out and teaching them how to drive. This is something that is very needed, especially in a rural area when these kids age out and they don't even have a driver's license. It's hard for them to get jobs. They wind up, again, it becomes a cyclical problem that they wind up in care. The statistics for kids who age out is very bleak, and so we want to be able to work with them so that they can have hope for a better future. And so they get 7 hours of drive time behind the wheel. It's an 80-hour program because it's not just driving. You've got to be able to understand how your finances work so that you can maintain a vehicle and know how to cook and clean and just basic adulting is what this program is all about. And so we're very, very excited about this program, so please be praying for us over the next 2 weeks for that. So in January of 21, we launched another program, Safe Mo Kids, which is something that's near and dear to my heart. It is childhood sexual abuse prevention training. So I was molested as a child, and so the statistics, again, and especially in this county, are very bleak for sexual abuse. And so this is a program that we have that's 2 workshops that you attend just to understand childhood sexual abuse and understanding the dynamics of predatory behavior as well as signs that a child can exhibit after they have been sexually abused. And then out of this program, we have also partnered with an organization out of Virginia called HEART, Hope Exists After Rape Trauma. And we do a victim-to-victim retreat once a year in Branson. So This year was our second year of doing it, and we have women come in, mostly from this area. It's a small group, 3 to 8 women, and who have been sexually assaulted, and it's a 5-day retreat to help them be able to deal with their trauma and be able to get the hope and the healing that they need to be able to live the best life that the Lord has for them, and knowing that that doesn't have to define them, it doesn't have to destroy them. And again, this is something that is very near and dear to my heart. I attended this retreat in Virginia back in 2014. And so to be able to launch that program here and be able to help these women makes me incredibly thankful. You can go to the next one. So, in October of 21, the closet moved to its new location. So again, we have all these programs and they were spread out because we didn't have the space. So we moved into the old ETC Bridal building that is 5,500 square feet. So far, so good. We haven't outgrown it yet. And so we are very excited that we are able to have all of our programs under one roof so that we can serve the community better. And then in January, we received a $10,000 grant that's called Let's Get to Work. And it is funds that we can distribute that are transportation-related expenses pertaining to employment. So if somebody is needing help with insurance or gas, vehicle registration, any of those things, we can help them through this program so that they can continue to work. And then we can also work with them to see what other things that they need and be able to plug them into other resources in the community as well. Then in March, and a lot of our programs we didn't necessarily seek out to make happen. They just kind of happened, and the prom closet is one of those. So I had posted on Facebook that we had a couple of prom dresses available at the closet. And I had somebody reach out to me and say, oh, I have some dresses that I would like to donate to you. And I said, oh, that's great. And she said, I have 600. And I said, I'm going to need you to call me. So it was formally held at Heritage Baptist Church. They had the prom closet. They had been doing that. Tony Reddick had been doing it in various locations, but for the last 16 years. And the church needed that space back, and she saw that I had posted, and so we sat and talked about it and figured out where we could put it, and so we cleared out an entire room, and in 5 weeks, we gave out 55 dresses and 6 suits, helping 61 students from 11 different schools. So the prom closet had been helping about 10 students a year. And so we were very encouraged to see how many we were able to help in just such a short period of time. Again, because the Lord has allowed our reach to continue to grow. And so we were very encouraged about that. So if anybody needs any prom dresses, we've got over 400 of them. So a lot of people know us as the Fostering Hope Closet, and we are, but that's one of our programs. It's the longest running, and it's the largest of our programs. But Live to Give Hope is very excited to have all of our programs and just trusting the Lord to see how we can get plugged in and what people need. And you can see most of them started in January. This is why people don't like to give me time off, because when I calm down a little bit, then I think of like, oh, this is a new program we can start. So they say, no, you can't keep doing that. So since we started in 2017, we were serving about 30 clients and across 20 families with about 400 volunteer hours and $13,000. To last year, we served over 400 clients in 200 families, $145,000, and 8,500 volunteer hours. So we were blessed to have received a Neighborhood Assistance Program grant through the state of Missouri. And so that's how we were able to get moved into our new building. It was a 3-year grant. And so that has been what has allowed us to grow and to be able to do all of the things that we do. So we had been 100% volunteer based up until that point. And so with the NAP grant, we were able to hire me as a program director and then John as the outreach director so that we can do this full time. I closed my business and that way I can just focus on this full time, which is definitely where my heart is. So if you guys received these when you walked in, it's a brochure about our programs, because I know that was like drinking out of a water hose, fire hydrant, I guess I should say. And there is a little card in here that says get involved. And so if anyone is interested in being a part of any of the programs or any of the things that I talked about, again, faith without works is dead. And so we want to be able to put the hands and feet to our beliefs. And so that's what these cards are for. So if you guys want to fill those out at all, I've got a little basket up here that you can drop them in and someone can reach out to you and see where we can get you plugged in whatever form or fashion and however much or however often you would want to be involved.